141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a famous night for Scotland. A 2-0 win against the might of Spain came thanks to a Scott McTominay double with heroic performances all over the pitch. It's a result which leaves Steve Clark's side top of the table, 2 wins from 2, and next up it's Norway and Gibraltar in June. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight we've got Simon Donnelly and Roger Hannah.
Tuesday nights don't come much better than last night, Gordon. A sellout crowd at Hampden, a fantastic historic victory, and let me just say, Salvador Dali, Rafa Nadal, Pablo Picasso, Julio Iglesias, Antonio Banderas, Pep Guardiola, your boys took one hell of a beating.
Follow that, Simon Donnelly.
I don't know if I can. 1984, I was there. I don't know, were you born?
Absolutely not, excuse me.
1984, I was there as a 9-year-old, and we won. King Kenny scored. Mo Johnson got a couple. Last night is right up there with it. My oldest son was there, unfortunately. I wasn't at the game, I was watching it with my father, but what a performance. Not a failure on that pitch, and it has set us up beautifully.
If we cannot celebrate results like last night together, then this game is lost on all of us. So come on, 0141 951 1025, get it all off your chest. How good was it? How good a performance? How good a result? Who stood out for you? Where does it leave us in the qualification group? And anything else at all you want to take away from the game, this is the time and the place to share it. I know we've got this thing in Scottish football where we're almost more comfortable moaning and being negative about things, but surely a rare chance to just be happy and full of praise for the national team. We've not had that a lot over the years, so let's not miss the opportunity. 0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So let's hear it. Even better if you were there, because the jealousy is ripping out of me and Simon and Roger. In fact, you were in your office as well, so share the experience with us. What was the atmosphere like? If you get any condolences to Rodri as well, if you want to wish him well, I know he's had a tough night.
Don't stop.
So if you want to wish him well, you could do that, because I mean we're here for everyone, you know, in times like this. So well, it's the same number, 0141 951 1025. Right up there, Roger, with famous results and performances.
Yeah, without doubt. I mean, Simon talked about that game in 84. That was the first game I'd ever been at Hampden. Went with my father. 3-1, Morris Johnson scores twice, Kenny Dalglish scores that goal, and you fell in love with the place and with the Scotland national team and with football in general. And I was just thinking last night, there'll be young kids there, boys and girls there with their mums and dads, maybe it's their first Scotland game, and you just think, this is absolutely brilliant. You know, they'll be engaged with the Scotland national team and with Hampden forever.
That's the thing that actually struck me as well, Simon. You've got a couple of possibilities. Imagine that's your first Scotland game last night. It should come with a warning that it's not always like this, but you've got two possibilities. It's your first, or maybe it's the opposite. Maybe you're somebody that's had all the trials and tribulations and having to suffer the Faroe Islands and starting off a campaign with home draws against Lithuania and taking a last minute goal against Liechtenstein and all that sort of stuff. Then you go and get a night like last night.
Then you go and get exactly. And listen, me and Roger are old enough to remember games like that. First game against Spain, I remember Scotland winning against France. It was around about 89, 1990. And these were days when, as a Scottish fan, you genuinely did go to Hampden expecting to beat teams of that calibre. And I think this team is now grown into that. I really do. I think we watched them beat Denmark recently at Hampden. Last night's performance was fantastic. Yes, we capitalised on a slip early on. We got off to a great start. Yes, we had to weather a little bit of the Spanish team playing in that first half, coming back into it. They hit the bar. But we had other chances in the game as well. And then we get the second goal. And I mean, Roger said before we came on, it's probably as comfortable a win against a team of that level that we've ever experienced.
It's quite incredible. You think of the chance Lyndon Dykes had in stoppage time at the end of the first half as well.
Christie's had an effort.
Yeah, I mean, Angus Gunn must think this international football
easy peasy
is easy peasy. I mean, he had he not slipped and landed in the ball with his bum on Saturday, he'd have had nothing to do for the entire week.
Look, we'll get through this. We're here until 8 o'clock. The calls are already coming in, so, you know, keep them going already. 0141 951 1025. But in a general sense, Roger, it just feels like there's so much to like. You've discovered this goal machine and Scott McTominay all of a sudden. Simon, I think back to the last time you were on this show. Do you remember those calls to suggest that Kieran Tierney shouldn't play because he's not been playing for Arsenal?
I don't think we'll get too many of them tonight.
What
an involvement for that second goal, you know, just bursting forward, so much energy. I just came away thinking last night that guy, he needs to be playing again. You know, I can't understand why he's not in that Arsenal team. I know they're doing well, I know they're at the top of the league, but for his sake, he deserves to be playing every week.
There's two things, Roger. There's the result on the night and the performance, which was magnificent on both fronts, and we'll pick our way through it. And then there's that slightly bigger picture of where this leaves us in a European Championship qualifier, in a very, very healthy position with a long way to go. But we've had campaigns where it's looked pretty grim after two games, so this is a nice change.
Yeah, of course it is. And listen, to go through, we're in a really good position. At the start of the campaign, I think everyone would have said Spain will get one of the two places, and the other one will probably go to Scotland or Norway or maybe Georgia. Yeah. We're now in a position where Norway have played two games and they've got 1 point. We've played two games and got 6 points. Yeah. So if we can go to Oslo in the next game in June, suddenly, you know, a victory there would probably put Norway out the running after three games, Gordon. It's a fantastic start.
The best thing about nights like that is how we get to share it together, all of you lot on the phone. So come on, 01419511025. Craig is first up tonight. Craig, were you at the game last night? Tell me all about it. Make me even more jealous than I already am.
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me on. It's first time on. That's what I was saying. Just driving back up the road from Inverness. I'm not from Inverness, I'm from the West Coast, but I'm driving back up a happy man. It's all brilliant. I mean, I was talking to my pal that I go to games with. I've been going to games with him since primary school. And I think that's up there with one of the best, probably the best night I've ever had at Hampden. My first memory is probably the Betty Boats era, maybe just a wee bit too young. I remember Craig Brown era and a wee bit of success with that. Didn't go to the Italy game in 2006, missed out in the France game, so you know I was at the Liechtenstein game for last minute winners. I had, you know, a ton of time kind of skating past Faroe Islands and all the rest of it, so to leave Hampden after beating a top 10 team 2-0, yes, Spain aren't the team that they were 10 years ago, but you know they've got players from Man City. The number two, Pedro Porro, had an absolutely abysmal night. He was up to his antics trying to get a few of our boys hooked at half time. So they've absolutely rattled a former world champion and European champion. I don't think things can get much better for Scotland, but I think that the only thing to get better is by actually using this to qualify. And I think there's a wee bit of chat about Norway as well. I think last night was huge for 2 points, and one being the main thing, we got a fantastic result. But they also dropped points in Georgia. So I actually think, now listen, I want to go to Georgia and win, but I think we can actually afford to maybe get 4 points off of Georgia and go away thinking, by the way, we're still with the right chance of maybe not top in the group.
Why not? Exactly. That's the reality of it, Roger. For fans of Craig's generation, so he sounds a little touch younger than me, but not too much. We're talking about seeing some of the high points for anyone who's in the region of 30, just over 30. It could be like the best Scotland result they've ever seen, or one of them. It is at that level, even if Spain aren't the team that they were when they won the World Championship.
Listen, I was fortunate. I grew up at a time when Scotland routinely were qualifying for major finals, World Cups, European Championships. Simon Donnelly went to one of the World Cups in France in 98. So that was a regular occurrence at the time. The last 25 years have been a desert in terms of qualification, until Steve Clarke arrived. And the Euros a couple of years ago were disappointing, but I think he would tell you that squad, that team, was just at the start of the curve then. Very inexperienced in comparison to the Croatians that beat them and the Czechs that beat them. And since then, they've built up experience. You know it, you know, not so long ago, Andy Robertson passed 50 caps, John McGinn passed 50 caps, Callum McGregor on Saturday passed 50 caps, Grant Hanley's on the brink of reaching it. And, you know, together they've grown up as a team. And you saw that last night. They were streetwise. They were more streetwise in the Spanish. There were little fiery flash points. And Scotland came out of all of them on top. And that just showed, I think, that this is a team on an upward trajectory that's still got a little bit to go.
Is what is particularly satisfying, Simon, you would have taken any manner of victory, but quite often, I mean, we're used to being the underdog, and we've shocked big teams before, and it sometimes has a bit of a smash and grab feel to it, which is still great. You know what I mean? It's absolutely brilliant. This is not about doing down any previous result, but there was a odd element of comfort about last night. And then if you stretch it even further, you could maybe say that this was kind of coming. It was maybe the next thing Steve Clarke's side were likely to tick off was that marquee result. You know, they've made it to a major tournament, got to another playoff, beating some very good sides like Denmark. It felt like maybe this was the next logical step.
Absolutely. And I said about this squad when we went to the last Euros, I think this squad would have went away from that finals thinking, didn't let themselves down, but we didn't see the best of them. Roger touches on the teams that we played. We're really good teams. You only have to look to Croatia and how far they went in the last World Cup there with that team, more or less the same team. I think they would have been away. And then we had the disappointment of the Ukraine game for the World Cup, where I thought these guys would be wanting to get to the finals, having tasted it, the Euros. But I'm with Roger. This team have been growing. I've written down there Tierney, Robertson, McTominay, McGregor, McGinn, five. I mean, no failures, but five big players in our 11 that, you know, have come through almost together. You're now adding guys like Porteous, younger boys coming in, and he's played three games, hasn't conceded a goal, doesn't look out of place, looks as if he's going to get better. Hickey, great experience in Serie A, down in the English Premiership now. We've got a right good squad, you know, and if we can keep picking maybe one or two younger ones to add into that, you know, that I see us in Germany next year. That for me is almost a cert. I know Steve said it's 6 points. What a start. And this team are capable of going and getting results in June as well.
Squad's evolved really well. You know, you think Patterson and Hickey now, you've got two right wing backs who play in the English Premier League. You've got Angus Gunn, who you know, didn't have very much to do, but did it quite well. You wouldn't have thought you'd have got to these two crucial qualifiers. Billy Gilmour wouldn't have been seen.
Yeah.
It's quite remarkable.
And he's
a
player. He'll come again.
Of course he will.
He's still a young boy. And you know, he just needs to get back playing regular.
Is that why? Look, it's great fun. It's a great debate. You're always going to put your suggestions forward. There's nothing wrong with it. But every time the squad's announced and there's always this is the same players. What? this is why. And then this is what's led to this point. Is it about time we sort of realised that?
I think Steve Clarke will tell you that's deliberate. Of course it's the same players. And doesn't matter if Billy Gilmour's out the side at Brighton. Doesn't matter if Kieran Tierney's out the side at Arsenal. By the way, Scott McTominay, 4 goals in 2 games. Not had a lot of action for Manchester United either. But Steve Clarke knows that he can turn to those guys. He knows they will turn up for Scotland. And listen, McTominay and Tierney and guys like that are probably delighted to come to Scotland and get some action and get back into a team where they're appreciated and where they can win games.
Craig, how did it feel in the stadium? Were you ever worried at any point? Is that typical Scottish thing, or does this team fill you with a bit more confidence?
Probably a bit of both. It's probably that I think obviously if you're follow Scotland for as long as anyone has and kind of used to the national team, you can't really rest in your laurels. You're kind of waiting for the final whistle. But I think it was one of those where we did always look comfortable. I don't think Angus Gunn. I think he had maybe one or two saves, maybe between 35 and 45 minutes. Where you're thinking, we're done, but it wasn't like absolutely outstanding saves. It's probably saves they should make. So there wasn't, I don't think there was really any pressure. I think the five in the back was perfect, kind of restricting them to a wee bit more wide and kind of then just dealing with balls in the box. I think it was relatively comfortable, albeit you still kind of have that wee doubt of maybe, is that going to be another glorious failure? Is it going to be a Harry Kane, a last minute equaliser? You know, is that other kind of late goals going to come? But obviously, they never did. And in terms of the atmosphere, I've got to say, as I said, I miss the kind of France and Italy games back in the 2008 qualifying. So for me, maybe outside England game for 2 each, which obviously ended in disappointment, but throughout the 90 minutes, that's the best atmosphere I've ever seen. National anthem ringing out around the stadium, you know, 4 or 5 times throughout the 90 minutes. The McGinn songs, McDominay songs, the atmosphere was immense. So I think it's that kind of classic 12th man. I think everyone in the stadium should probably build themselves to the kind of effort they put in. That was brilliant.
Yeah, it's an interesting point, Simon. It's not to say there's no merit in a Hampden debate. Everyone loves that. You save that for another day. I'm sure it's got its faults, and it does in loads of them. But the old place still rocks on nights like that. And, you know, Craig mentions England and so on and some of the others, but try telling anyone last night there was no atmosphere.
Definitely. And we touched on it last week about, you know, these games coming round about and getting away from the domestic game. Once the Scotland games start, and once they start putting performances on like that, I didn't see the game at the weekend, I seen the goals, but once they start putting performances, the fans will be there. The fans have been excellent, you know, and that's where we want to see them at another finals, because the Tartan Army brings something special to tournaments like that, and it's been too long away. We've had a little taste of it on our home turf a couple of years ago, and they deserve more, and I think this group of players will be able to take them to the next couple of finals.
Oh, just keep thinking of positives, Gordon. You know, Che Adams drops out, injured on Saturday, number one striker, undoubtedly number one striker. Lyndon Dykes comes back in. Lyndon Dykes was in hospital suffering from pneumonia not long ago. He took on two Spanish centre-halves on his own last night and didn't give them a minute's peace. He was outstanding. Callum McGregor in the middle of the park looked as if he could play for Real Madrid or Barcelona. The run at the end up the right wing was ridiculous. Every bit as good as Tierney's run for the second goal. And Ryan Portis, anyone remember, he used to get into fights with Alfredo Morelos and get sent off, and he used to cause bother on the pitch, and he was always in referees' faces, and he was slaughtered for being immature. He's played 3 times for Scotland, been outstanding 3 times for Scotland, and he's had 3 clean sheets.
Easy as that. Thank you, Craig. Thanks for picking up the phone for the first time. We've not had the pleasure of your company before. Enjoy your drive up the road. We're going to speak to Josh. Josh is very excited, and we'll catch him next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here. We're looking back on a memorable night for Scotland at Hampden. So any thoughts you've got at all, whether it's on the game itself, the performance, the managerial role, the players who played that impressed you, or the qualification group as a whole, get them into us right now, please, on 0141 951 1025. That's exactly the number Josh has dialed. How are you feeling tonight, Josh?
Physically not too great, Gordon, but emotionally, mentally, still on cloud nine. I mean, the thing about for me last night, Gordon, was, I mean, the result was obviously marvellous. It was incredible, but to be honest, it wasn't all that much of a surprise. And I'm not trying to, you know, say that we should be, I mean, we're expecting to go and beat Spain 2-0. But I went into that game expecting a performance from Scotland, because we know how good we are, particularly how much strength and depth we have now. We're a wee bit light up top. But, I mean, throughout the team, you know, we're just littered with quality. The atmosphere in the stadium last night was sublime. But, you know, I mean, I keep hearing people describing it as, you know, a special, special night at Hampden. And to be honest, I could attach that label to about 4 or 5 games from the Steve Clarke era already. You know, it just seems that we're getting more and more of those nights. And it's, you know, when are these going to stop, you know, being described as special, special nights? And we start to recognise that these, you know, these are results that we can, you know, we can get. We can take Spain at Hampden and spank them 2-0. You know, it was just a phenomenal result. Though I thought all over the pitch we were absolutely brilliant.
A fair point, Roger. You know, if you're looking at a time where, and this is not to say there haven't been disappointments, of course there have, but if we've beaten Denmark 2-0 at home, which was a brilliant performance, beating Ukraine 3-0 at home, drawn with England at Wembley as part of a Euros which we got to in the first place. Was it that much of a surprise? And you take some of our famous results from years gone by. You know, we're a team in a bad place that's produced that big shock. But like we said earlier, it was about time that we gave a bloody nose to one of the proper big teams, wasn't it?
Yeah, yourself and Josh cite a few games. The other one that Steve Clark always goes back to as a point of reference is the 1-0 win in Austria. He thinks that was a turning point for this group of players. It brought more belief, more confidence. He was speaking on Monday, the eve of the game, saying, "I'm trying to push this positive mentality." It was almost a case of play the game, don't play the name. You know, just go and take on these 11 guys. Don't worry that they're wearing Spain outfits, because I believe the 11 that I'm sending out are going to beat that 11. So go and play the game. And that's what it did yesterday. And what that does, beating Spain, beating a top 10 nation, a former European and world champion, filled with superstars from La Liga, when you beat them, you suddenly believe, well, tell you what, we can take on Edmonton and we can go to Oslo next in June and get the positive win. Simon will tell you, there's nothing gives players confidence more than a positive result, because it's all very well the manager saying, "I believe in you boys," but suddenly when you achieve a result like Scotland achieved last night, you believe in yourself.
Yeah,
it's the manner as well. The manner of the win.
Yeah, it doesn't come completely out the blue, does it? It still can be a short result, or it can be a big result.
You'd have asked me last week, I'd have said I'll take 4 points for the start, and I was even leaning towards a draw against Spain, because it is Spain, and we probably do get caught up a wee bit. Yes, they still have very good players. They're not quite at the levels they were maybe 10 years ago when they were winning tournament after tournament. Mm-hmm. But they're still a really good team, and it's Spain. And we probably sometimes do always fear the worst with Scotland, but there's good players in this squad. Good experience. They're organised. They can take the ball. They're brave. They're very brave in possession, and loads of ability. You know, I look to McGinn as our talisman, taking balls in, using his body, winning free kicks. Tierney and Robertson have been fantastic. McTominay's now popping up with goals. McGregor just gets better and better for me. So we've got good players.
There is a lot to like, Josh. You could almost run through them all. I mean, who in particular? Will we start with the goal machine? Where did that come from? Scott McTominay. Was it three of the four with his left foot as well? Just a couple of minutes off the bench on Saturday, and then that last night.
I mean, absolutely brilliant goal. I mean, the thing, I mean, me and a few of my friends were talking about this before the game kicked off, and we were talking about, right, can we make a joint starting 11 between Spain and Scotland? And I got about four or five of the Scotland players in our team. You know, above the Spanish, and you know, you think that's mad, but when you look at it on paper, you think actually that's probably about right. You know, Callum McGregor, you know, I'm a blue nose, but I've got to give him his dues. I thought he was, I think he is on a par or better than about 90% of the midfielders in England. You know, in the Premier League, I think he really is an absolutely top class all-round midfielder, and he's, you know, in my view, he's probably limited his limited his career and earnings, I would say, and not moving from Celtic, because I think he could play at a much more prolific level. McTominay, outstanding, you know, just brilliant. I mean, he came on, scored the two goals against Cyprus and played his way into the team. I thought it was just absolutely brilliant again. All over the pitch. I mean, our press last night was phenomenal, right to the front. Christie with the energy, McGinn with the energy, and Dykes, you know, Roger was talking about the guy was in hospital with pneumonia just a few, you know, a month and a half ago. He was lung busting for about 80 minutes or whatever, how long he was on the pitch. I just thought we were absolutely outstanding. I try to think how well, you know, Tierney, you know, barely playing a minute for Arsenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And I've got to say, and all, by the way, I had my kind of trepidations, but I've been impressed with Gunn. I thought there was a lot of safe hands last night from him. You know, I thought he was comfortable, composed, coming for crosses and corners, etc. I just thought all round, every you know, to a man, we were outstanding. And the thing about the result, the fact that we've got 6 points, is that, that it gives us a huge amount of breathing space now for the rest of the group.
The thing is as well, we hopefully we don't even need to talk about it. It's worth remembering this team's already got a playoff spot banked from the Nations League.
But no, you can just Steve Clark says, what playoff spot?
Exactly. Just move on.
He's not interested. Get back to your point, Gordon, about McTominay. Simon and I, between us, played up front 10 times for Scotland, so we're well placed to comment on this. The finishes were those of a world class striker. If Erling Haaland finished like that for Norway,
you'd be
waxing lyrical. 4 goals, 3 first-time finishes, yeah. And probably the best goal was a touch in the thigh and then the left foot finish high into the net for his first goal against Cyprus. He looked like an international striker.
How important was he? I mean, obviously, in terms of the goal contribution, Simon, but for a guy then that actually wasn't given the nod to start, and we're in this place where, yes, he's not getting a game, but we leave out Manchester United midfielders now, yeah. Don't you know? And we don't get huge complaints about it, because in certain areas we've got that level of depth.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's a testament to this group of players. I think they want to come, as Roger said earlier on. I think these guys want to come and be part of this. I think they've, keeping back to that finals, where I think the guys will go, you know what, we didn't hit the peak there. We've got a lot more to offer on this. They'll have enjoyed the experience of being in the finals. They'll have wanted to get to that World Cup. The next one's Germany, and I think this is the level that they want to be playing at. This is where they want to take the team, and there's quality within it. McTominay, just another one, just the same as Tierney, epitomises everything that's good about this Scotland squad. The guys are not playing week in, week out, and they come and put performances in like that for Scotland.
And he's good, Clark, because over the 2 games, I'll bet 17 or 18 of those boys were involved.
Yeah.
You know, he tries to keep, you know, there was at the end last night, on came Lewis Ferguson, on came Kenny McLean.
Yeah.
You saw in some of the changes made. Ryan Jack was involved in the first game there. Stuart Armstrong was involved in the first game. Shanklin got on right at the end of it, not being picked in the original squad. He just tries to keep them all ticking over, keep them all feeling involved, which is important because they're all of a role to play in the road to Germany.
Thank you very much to Josh. You need to go and rest that voice. You've obviously had a heavy night. It's fine. But no judgment attached here.
Aye, thanks very much, guys.
It's getting worse as the call goes on. I'm cutting you off. Honestly, it sounds like he's smoked 60 this morning, which we wouldn't condone, obviously. And please drink responsibly, as I'm sure Josh did last night. Anyway, 01419511025. That is the number you need. In terms of the way the game was played, the way the game was managed, the way that Scotland went about it, the way that Spain went about it, I suppose we really need to bring in the thoughts of Rodri on this, don't we? And I thought we would actually just give him a bit of a musical introduction. Are you happy with that, Simon? I know you're a big music fan.
I spot that on Instagram last night. Yeah.
I've got a few other options if you want. Would this,
go for it.
Would you
go
prefer?
For it. Perfect.
That working?
Perfect.
Roger Hannah, what is he on about? Rodri blaming Scotland for rubbish tactics and falling over. Sour grapes, sore loser. What's the phrase? And keep it clean.
I actually burst out laughing when I saw him on the television last night. We some of my colleagues from the Sun at Hampden, they were aware of the interview that went out and via play before it had actually been broadcast. It wasn't broadcast live. It was delayed, and everybody's just laughing because everybody who saw the game knows fine well Scotland deserved to win. Spain just couldn't do anything to compete with the Scotland side. Lots of nice tippy-tappy passes, but, you know, Rodri might need to accept the fact that he's playing in a Spanish team that doesn't have the David Villas and Fernando Torreses or the Iniestas or the Xavis, and a Spanish team that, you know, prior to last night, they'd only lost 1 in 38 European qualifiers going back about between 15 and 20 years. But they were second best last night, and I'm afraid, senor, suck it up and get on with it.
I wondered where that was going there. You had me worried, I must admit. I mean, Simon, even if his assessment was accurate, we still wouldn't care anyway. Because
we wouldn't
like,
care. We wouldn't care.
But it's almost like, you know, where's your irony meter here? I mean, come on, seriously, after having
that,
watched.
I said that last night, you know. He was talking about us diving and wasting time. I can remember the Spanish boy trying to get a penalty in the box. Then there was another lad jumped about, ran about Gunn was coming out, you know, insinuating that he'd been stood on or whatever. And then they complained about the grass. Now, I like good surfaces. I like to play in good surfaces, and I know Hampden's been criticised recently, but the grass been locked. It was a wet night. Hampden was slick. It was perfect for both teams. Perfect conditions for both teams. Sour grapes completely with Rodri.
Don't think it was perfect for Pedro Porro.
Yeah, I mean, well, we take that.
Aye, with the slip. But I think just sour grapes. Listen, the guy's a fantastic football player. Tongue in cheek on my social media last night with a couple of comments. He's a fantastic football player, but accept defeat in a better way. There we go.
Right, I've had my fun.
Have you somehow accessed Gordon Dale's Spotify?
Well, I was just looking to see if the next clip up was Joe Longthorne, but yeah. It seems to be absent on this at the moment.
Nathan Carter.
He'll be singing along quite the thing, I'm sure. Richard's
last night.
There's a thought. Richard is on the line. Richard, what do you think of those comments last night?
Well, I think if you want to add a tune to your list, you should play the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme when he's starting to do that. What I was going to say is I actually love the fact that he came out and said all that. I adore it because I actually agree with him to a certain percent. I think our players did fall over or go down when touched legitimately in a theatrical manner. There were times when Ryan Porteous out on the right-hand side of the pitch, he was throwing the ball away or taking his time and he'd been hit and he was going on. He'd an extra role or two, which is a wee bit extra theatrical. However, many times have we sat and watched teams do that to us, and it's part of the game. It's not illegal in the game. We weren't cheating, but we were playing the game and the gamesmanship, and as Roger mentioned the word earlier, being streetwise. We were streetwise last night, and that's what got up their nose so much, that normally that's part of the game of many, many teams in the world who are the biggest teams. They know when to do these things and when not to do these things. This is not a comment about not being from our country or anything like that, because that's ignorant and stupid. But you watch all the best teams. Occasionally, when you get hit, you go down, you take the foul, you make the referee make a decision. That's part of football, as well as the glitzy football or the fast-paced slick football. I honestly felt that when Scotland was doing it, I was watching, like, there was times when they were manhandling us and we were trying to make it clear to the referee, no, they're actually doing pretty bad stuff. Now, a lot of the times we weren't getting the decision.
Yeah, I think Richard actually hits on a really good point, Roger, that the real criticism to Rodri is because this idea, first of all, that Spain weren't doing it and doing it worse, but secondly, that it had some sort of impact on the game, or that's the reason that we won. But as Richard says, are we now waking up to the realisation, not only are we quite good, we're streetwise as well. We've got a bit of a streak.
It's what they would call the black arts of international football, if you like. But when you get involved in these wee tete-a-tetes, you know, throw in Andy Robertson and Pedro Porro on that side, throw in...
I mean, that was risky, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but he got away with it. You know, he did. And in the past, maybe Scotland players haven't got involved in that and haven't been streetwise and haven't indulged in it. That's what comes with experience. That's what comes with know-how at the international level. And that will benefit Scotland going forward.
I mean, some of them, Tierney, Robertson, Porteous, Simon, there are a few of them that you feel were made for nights like that.
But we need that. We need that wee bit of gallus in our makeup, different characters within the team. We need that. And I listened to Callum McGregor earlier on today about how they manage the game. Whatever Richard's talking about, different examples there of managing a game of football, Scotland stood up to it last night. And the comments that come from Rodri is he didn't like it. He doesn't like it. And bring on more of it.
Absolutely. Thank you to Richard on the line. I see where you're coming from, Richard. You make good points on 01419511025. I promise you, that's me done with the music. That's as much as you're getting from us on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. But we will be back with more of your calls and plenty more reaction to last night next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Enjoy nights like these, getting to look back on a rare piece of positivity for Scotland. But that's the thing, they're not that rare anymore. But certainly it's always a pleasure when we get to look back on a scoreline like Scotland 2, Spain 0. Let's get some reaction from the Scotland camp before we take more of your calls. We've not even done that yet amid all the excitement so far. Let's hear from Stevie Clark.
Well, you don't qualify with 6 points, so we've got a long way to go. Was pleasing, obviously good performance, two good performances over the 9 days that we've been together. It was important to capitalise on the two home games as much as we could, and we've managed to do that with maximum points. But all the credit goes to the players. I think you see tonight, 16 players on the pitch, not one let us down, 7 players in the stand, just every bit as happy as everyone else. We have a good group, we're working hard to get better and better. I think tonight was a chance to put our mark in the group. We want to be competitive against the top team, and that's what we did tonight. Well, certainly it should give the players a little bit more belief that when you come up against these top sides. So that's the last two number one seeds, so Denmark in the World Cup qualification and Spain in this, that have came to Hampden and have left with no points. So that's a step forward in terms of believing in what we're trying to do. But it's very important to stay grounded, because there's still a long way to go in the group, and as we know to our cost, one game can cost you dearly.
I think most managers would keep a lid on things there, which means Stevie Clark was definitely going to keep a lid on things there, Roger. But is it becoming apparent now? You look at the body of work, and I know not everybody likes Steve Clark, and I wouldn't try and convince them otherwise. Each to their own and all that. But is it not becoming abundantly clear that it's working? This calm persona, this never too high, never too low way that he goes about things is clearly working for that team of players.
I think it is just a public persona. I'm not sure that he's like that with the players behind the scenes. He is incredibly popular among the players behind the scenes. He can look back, you know, he complains he only won 6 Scotland caps as a player. He feels he should have earned more. But you look at his body of work as a club player, you know, in that Chelsea side in the 1990s with the Hullets and the Hoddles and the Vialis and the Zolas and the DiMatteos, he was a top quality football player. And Simon will tell you, you know, when young players can look at a manager, get on with a manager, respect the manager, look back and say, hey, he must have been some player himself, then it's a good recipe. And, you know, it's frustrating for us in the media when Steve Clark comes out and hits all the questions back at you with a straight bat. But I think the players see a different side of Steve Clark, and it's a side that they enjoy working with.
That's the latest chapter last night, Simon, and the job that he's done. How would you assess it now?
I think he's been brilliant. I really do. I think it's really evident with the players. You talk about a club environment, it's evident that they like him. You know, the way that they're going about, and no matter when he changes it, there's nobody in a huff. Everybody is full throttle, you know, behind this campaign. I think they were like that for the last one as well. So I think it's evident, and I don't think anybody... Yes, you're always going to have us as fans, oh, I want him in, and, you know, questioning different things in the team. I think that's healthy, but I think this guy has been phenomenal since he came in. Yeah. I really think the job has been superb.
0141 951 1025. The screen next to me for the callers says Jerry McCulloch on there. I thought you'd have deleted this number a long time ago. Did you manage to remember it off the top of your head?
You never forget a number like that, Gordon. How you doing, guys?
Not too bad. Hi, at Jerry. All. Hi, it must have been a special night. I thought people would just try and forget this madhouse as soon as they could, but we've drawn you back in.
You know what I was thinking? What an unusual night for you, Gordon. I know what it's like, and you're sitting there and you're getting positivity at you from all angles. It must be incredible.
Well, it's rare, that's for sure, but we're getting used to it. We've been practicing a little bit over the last few years. We're slowly but surely getting there. And I take it you were there last night, were you?
I was, guys. I mean, listen, I want to bring a bit of nostalgia to the conversation here, because, you know, working at Celtic, you don't get many chances to take your kids along to the game. So going to see Scotland is the only chance I really get to take my boy to the football. And just like Simon, I was there back in 84. I was there with my dad when a player who shall not be named got a couple of goals. And Kenny get that cracker as well. I was in the main stand just behind when he curled that left foot shot into the top corner. And these kind of memories stay with you forever. And I was there in 89 when guy scored another couple of goals in that fantastic game against France. And, you know, when you're growing up in the 80s, you don't really have much else to excite you when it comes to pastime. You don't have your PlayStations and your iPads or whatever. So going to the football is a massive thing. So, you know, I was there with my boy last night, and you can see the delight on his face. And it's that kind of realisation that, wow, this is something really, really special. It was a great atmosphere. He wanted to get a new scarf before he went in, so we got him a scarf with the players' faces on it. And then when that second goal went in from Scott McTominay, I mean, I swear to God, the last time I saw my boy as excited as that was when his iPad was at 100% charge.
Trying to explain to him it's not always like that, though.
It's not always like, no, it's usually about 5% because he's on it that often. No, I do. I explain it to him and I say, it's not always like this, but you don't really want to dampen their enthusiasm. And to be fair, I have taken him to games where we haven't actually done as well as last night. But I also want to kind of disagree with what you guys were saying, having been there last night and you're talking about it. It felt relatively comfortable. Let me tell you, I didn't feel comfortable sitting in the stand. Maybe because you've had years of knowing kind of what might happen next, but I only felt comfortable when that referee blew that whistle at full time. Then you can look back with hindsight and say, do you know what? We played really well there.
Yeah, I did actually laugh when the camera panned round a little bit, because even with like 3 or 4 minutes to go, the faces that it zoomed in on in the stands did look pretty worried. There were nails getting bitten all over the place, Roger Hannah, and some very worried looks. But that's kind of the theme we started this hour with, and we'll round off this hour on, you know, Jerry's talking about taking his young son along. If you're lucky enough to be a youngster going along last night, you won't forget that, and then you'll be the old guy recalling it to someone one day.
Absolutely. And listen, it engages. I feel Jerry will be able to tell you, back in the day, Gordon, you would have the Scotland international break and this show would still be inundated 90% with calls about Celtic and Rangers. There wasn't a connect between the Scottish public and the Scotland national team. But I think since that night in Belgrade when we qualified for the Euros, I think the public in at large are more engaged with the Scotland national team again. Look at the ticket sales. Look at the crowds that go to Hampden for the games now. Whether it's a Tuesday night, whether it's a Saturday afternoon, whether it's Spain, whether it's Cyprus, there are still, you know, big crowds there for Scotland now. I think the public is excited by this national team, and you would love to think that young Master McCulloch and all the boys and girls his age who were at the game last night will go back and back and back, and will now have a lifelong association with the Scotland national team.
And where is the optimism levels in the household now, Jerry, in terms of qualification down the line?
Well, see, this is the thing. You know, my son Oscar then starts looking at the world rankings and he starts thinking, well, if we're at 42 before last night and Spain are at 10, does that mean we are now at number 10? And then he starts asking, who's at number 1? And that's when you have to kind of hold your hand out and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. But can I say one thing before I go?
Go for it.
The Rangers fan that was on earlier talking about how great Callum McGregor was, I can see through his tactic. Can I just say that if any other chairman of any other clubs are listening to this, Callum McGregor was hopeless last night, just like he is in every other Scotland international. Don't bother looking at him. You don't need him. Just leave him where he is.
This is the problem, Roger. Nobody was hopeless last night, and we're finding that the way they all seem to come together and contribute is quite something at the moment.
It is. And you know, you see the performance last night, the team is greater than the sum of its parts, if you like. You know, there was a Spain team with Dani Ceballos of Real Madrid, Rodri from Manchester City, this one and that one from famous clubs. You know, Danny Carvajal, a 5 times Champions League winner, coming off the bench. We've got Angus Gunn from Norwich, Ryan Porteous from Watford. We've got Lyndon Dykes, who's just backing the QPR team in the bottom half of the English Championship. And our lads look like the world superstars.
Thank you very much to Jerry. Glad Jerry and Oscar enjoyed the game last night. And as he said, you're never going to forget a phone number like this. We do actually have some breaking news within the last couple of minutes, and it's that Rangers coach Craig McPherson will face a Scottish FA hearing on April the 13th following that incident that you all know, you've all seen, with Celtic boss Fran Alonso following the game between the women's sides at Broadwood on Monday. So the notice of complaint, remember that used to be a well-used phrase on this show. You don't hear it quite so often anymore. But a hearing set for April 13th, that will determine what punishment, if any, comes from the Scottish FA. And of course it remains to be seen how Rangers feel about the issue internally as well. It's that time of the night already though.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And of course, you're more than welcome to put your thoughts across on that topic or keep it going with the Scotland loving. Just don't say that very often. But it is Beat the Pundit time, 01419511025. It's been a clean sweep for the pundits so far this week. Let's see if we can change that. You need to call before 7 o'clock.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's Twitter at Clyde SSB. And it is an air, there is an air of positivity around the place. We don't see that a great deal, but it is becoming a bit more often when Steve Clark's Scotland team are involved. So let's keep it going. Let's look back on last night. If you were there, I'd really like to hear from you, share the experience with you. We've had a couple of callers already. We could work our way through the entire squad nearly and give them praise. So let's keep going. We're not done yet. I think we've given mentions to Scott McTominay and some others, but we can definitely do more. Keep all your thoughts coming on the qualification campaign as a whole as well. And away from international football, there was that breaking news just before 7 o'clock there that Rangers women's assistant manager Craig McPherson will face a Scottish FA disciplinary hearing next month after that incident with Fran Alonso at the end of the game between the women's sides on Monday. So get all your calls in and we'll do this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Oh, you missed a big night on Beat the Pundit last night, Roger. Oh. Hannah. Uh-huh. One of the show's urban legends phoned in. Crazy Pony.
No way.
The guy who sets all the teasers, you know, right, the full-time teaser, he always, yeah, sends in the difficult teasers. So he decided that he would swap one quiz element of the show for the other, and he decided to try his luck at Beat the Pundit. He took on Mark Wilson. I mean, he's a trivia guru, is the Crazy Pony.
Yeah.
But he lost to Mark Wilson.
No way.
Wasn't an entirely classic outcome. I mean, he was asking for you. He was giving it big licks. He only phoned because he thought you were on, thought he could take you down. Uh-huh. And he lost to a mere mortal in Mark Wilson. It doesn't bode well, I must say.
See, I made the mistake there of challenging Roger in the break.
I know,
there.
I heard you. Come
got,
on.
Made a fool of myself.
I was gonna say, but I thought I'll let him learn the hard way.
Yeah.
Listen, there's not much this guy doesn't remember. Anyway, Andy is in Bearsden. How are you, Andy? You well?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks.
Good,
how are you guys doing?
Yeah, very good. Very good after last night. Have you ever played before?
Exactly. Brilliant, yeah.
Here's the thing, Andy, right? If Scotland can beat Spain, you could beat Roger Hanna.
Well, they still got minus one.
Yes, he's still got minus one. See?
Well, I don't know. We'll see. It's like you know, many people have said before, it's different when you're on the radio.
That's true. Yeah. It sounds good to me. Rodrigo Hanna, how does that sound?
No, thanks. He whines.
He does indeed. Right, heads it will be Rodrigo, and tails it will be Simon. Let's see how we get on. And it's Rodrigo minus one against Andy from Bearsden.
Good luck, Andy.
Let's give Rodrigo some Clyde 2 in his ear so that he can't hear us. Let's hope he's getting Yes Sir I Can Boogie or something. Andy, you've got 30 seconds. Just answer as many as you can, and if you want to pass and move on, that is fine by me, okay?
No worries.
Right, let's go then. 30 seconds starts now. Name any outfield player who played all 90 minutes against Cyprus and Spain.
McTominay.
Name the only Scottish Premiership player to score a hat-trick against Celtic this season.
Pass.
Who were the last team from outside Glasgow to win the Scottish Cup?
St John's.
Who's managed more league games for Rangers this season, Van Bronckhorst or Beale?
Van Bronckhorst.
Which Scottish side's mascot is called Sammy the Tammy?
Pass.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Yeah.
Señor Hanna, are you ready?
Can I go back to Clyde 2, please? It was a Le Freak Bashik.
Don't care.
Classic.
Ready?
Go.
Name any outfield player who played all 90 minutes against Cyprus and Spain.
Hanley.
Name the only Scottish Premiership player to score a hat-trick against Celtic this season.
Shankland.
Who were the last team from outside Glasgow to win the Scottish Cup?
St Johnson.
Who's managed more league games for Rangers this season, Van Bronckhorst or Beale?
Beale.
Which Scottish side's mascot is called Sammy the Tammy?
Dunfermline.
Who are Scotland men's team playing next?
Norway.
And who are the only Spanish side to have won 100 trophies?
Real Madrid.
Okay. Andy, what do you think? Oh, it's never good, Andy. Let's find out. Name any outfield Scotland player who played all 90 minutes against Cyprus and Spain. So all 180 minutes plus. You had the choice of Ryan Porteous, Callum McGregor, Andy Robertson or Grant Hanley. Not Scott McTominay, Andy. I'm afraid. So it's a 1-0 Roger, that wipes out his minus one. So back level. Lauren Shankland is the only player to score a hat-trick against Celtic. Roger goes one up. You both knew that St Johnstone were the last team from outside Glasgow to win the Scottish Cup. It was a toss-up, wasn't it? Giovanni van Bronckhorst has managed 15, Michael Beale 14.
Oh.
So it's Giovanni van Bronckhorst, which means Andy is level. Mm-hmm. We've got a bit of a game on our hands. Until Sammy the Tammy, one of the most entertaining mascots in the Scottish game, Roger Hanna, a back catalogue of wild antics.
But is he a bear or a dog?
I've only ever thought about the Tammy part of it. I don't really think about what's underneath.
And is it Stephen?
Oh, he's not a dog, is he?
Is it Stephen Mill in a suit? Right, do we know that?
Stephen Mill can surely provide some context. He's never a dog, is he?
No, he's not a dog.
I need a picture of him right now. Google's Sammy the Tammy. I was there the infamous day. Remember he brought the cardboard tank out and shot at the Falkirk fans. Just as you do. He's not a dog. He cannot. That is never a dog, is it?
Nah, he's a bear.
You going for bear?
Yeah.
Has he got his own Wikipedia page? Is there any? I mean, he's got his own section of the Dunfermline website, but even at that, I don't think it clarifies. It tells you it says eyes black, birthday 10th of August 95, nature boisterous prankster. Apparently, easy for me to say. Anyway,
did Andy get him?
Stephen Mill, our resident Dunfermline fan, says large bear. To clarify, not a medium-sized bear, he's a large bear. Anyway, we got very distracted. Roger back in front. He added a bit of gloss because Scotland playing Norway next. Andy took too long. Andy's done. Andy's up the road by this point. And Barcelona have won 99, but Real Madrid have won 100 trophies. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for Roger. Minus his one takes him to 5, and only a 2 for you, Andy. Hard lines.
Simon was good with some of the old stuff. I'll give you a question, Simon. Lauren Shankland, hat trick for Hearts against Celtic this season, as Gordon says. Who was the last player to score a hat trick against Celtic before Shankland in the league? Come on, Andy.
Andy's not going to know.
Who was the last player before?
Before Shankland to score a hat trick against Celtic in the league.
Right, put them all out their misery before we run out of time.
That's a good question.
Frank McDougall for Aberdeen 1985.
No way.
There you are. Thank you, Andy. Before this guy shows off his knowledge anymore, thanks for taking part tonight.
Wait, I had a point if I could make it.
Absolutely, why not?
Just briefly, I've been on before and I've asked you a question about whether you'd rather see your club team win the Champions League or your national team win the World Cup. And I just wondered if your thoughts would maybe changed or how the panel feels after seeing Scotland, you know, take down one of the big dogs of European football last night.
Is this because we now look like we could win the World Cup, or are we at that level of getting carried away?
It's a good question, Andy. Slightly biased because, you know, in recent years we've lived through Celtic going to Seville, we've lived through Rangers going to Manchester, then Rangers going to Seville, and some of the times you felt that a European trophy was within the grasp of one of the old firm clubs. I can never really say I've thought, you know, international success was really within the grasp of a Scotland team. You know, we haven't gone beyond the group stages tournament.
For the record,
ever.
Winning the World Cup still feels like a little way off, as excited as everyone is.
By the way, we thought we were going to win it in 78.
Absolutely, I remember it. And I'm not going to say we're going to win the Euros or win a World Cup.
Thanks for telling us that.
Can I say to you, if Wales can get to a semi-final, or Turkey can get to a semi-final,
aim high.
Then let's aim high.
Why not? Thank you, Andy. Let's bring in Stephen, who's on the line. He's got a point about Scotland last night. Stephen, take it away.
Evening, everybody.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm still on absolutely cloud nine for yesterday. Steve Clark pulled off an absolute masterclass yesterday. He pulled Spain into the physical side of the game, and you can tell he just did not like it at all. After the match, full-time, I was on the Spanish FA's Facebook, and nothing tastes more delicious than Spanish tears.
I'll take your word for it. Stephen says, you know, we sort of dictated it, you know, and made it physical. Is that fair, Roger? Or actually, can this Scottish team mix it up and do a bit of both?
I'm not sure we made it physical. We certainly stood our ground if there was any were any physical challenges to be had. You know, people are focusing Robertson against Pedro Porro, Lyndon Dykes with David Garcia, who really didn't like it going up against Lyndon Dykes at all last night. So I think we stood our corner, but I'm not too sure we were the instigators for a lot of it.
No, I don't think so either. I think we competed really well. We're up against a decent team. We've got good players in our team, but I think we just gave as good as we got. I think we competed.
It was quite a surprise on that front as well that Spain's main threat was aerial bombardment in the first half as well. You know, they think of the header that hit the bar, and there were a couple of others, one that went straight at Angus Gunn, I think. So maybe that's not quite what... Maybe it didn't pan out the way we expected from both sides.
You think he underestimated us, Simon? I watched him on Saturday night against Norway.
Yeah.
Played really well, 1-3-0. And then eight changes for Hamden.
That's where the concern with me after seeing that great result at the weekend. You know, you're fearing the worst of them coming to Hamden. But eight changes, maybe they did underestimate us.
Yeah, and I thought, you know, Carvajal and the young lad for Barcelona, Alejandro Balde, who played as the two rampaging wingers on
Balde's good as
fullbacks, I should say, the other night. Gavi as well started, didn't play last night. Morata, always good for a goal at international level, didn't play. I think the new Spanish manager has grossly underestimated Scotland.
How much credit does Steve Clarke deserve then, Stephen?
I think he deserves a lot of the credit. You can see the way that we pressed, the way we attacked the line, the way we isolated certain defenders that were obviously new to the team. We exposed them as best we could with the tools that we had, and it worked an absolute dream. And Scott McTominay has been brilliant up front ever since he's came into that position. He's been transformed that line quite well. I think Steve Clarke's used the players at his disposal to the maximum potential that he can, but I still think there's more to come for this Scotland team. I think we could qualify first in this group.
Certainly, you can argue with that right now. I think you'd obviously take second, you take one of the two spots, but
why not? Yeah. Why not? You know, keep going back to it. We've got players there that can go and get results. They're showing it time and time again. It's becoming more common. The next two are big ones. You know, the home tie with Georgia, and first of all, we've got Norway away. But why can't we?
And are we starting to see, you know, the strength of the squad, as Stephen says, properly utilised? Because so-called small teams versus so-called big teams, you can properly sit in, you can properly park the bus, and you might nick a result. Kind of like the arguments we have about our Scottish Premiership every single week. But we certainly don't do that. There's no way we do that. I know there was a time where Steve Clarke got accusations of being a bit reserved, a bit negative. But it's just not like that anymore.
There's a wee bit of criticism I'd seen after the weekend, just one or two wee bits about playing five at the back. We don't really play with five at the back. We've got the three. The guys on the wide run like gazelles.
And when one of them is Kieran Tierney, forget what the number says, because it just doesn't pan out that way.
And he doesn't play like someone that's got, these guys, it's not in their makeup to sit in. They want to go and take the game to the opposition, as they did last night. And within that, they have the quality to go and hurt teams.
And they're brilliantly drilled. I mean, when I was growing up, Simon, used to have defenders, midfielders and strikers. Now we've got underlapping left-sided centre-halves like Kieran Tierney. You know, the game has developed, and it's great to watch. You know, when Tierney gallops forward, as you say, like a gazelle from left centre-back, just watch how the rest of the team react to it.
Yeah.
You know, they cover the space that he's left behind. There were no spaces for the Spaniards yesterday. Scotland was so compact, they were so organised. They were saying to Spain, if you want to hurt us, I'll tell you what, try and get down the outside of us and put balls into the box. And when you put balls into the box, we've got three centre-halves and an enormous goalkeeper who'll deal with that. And that's what happened.
By the way, you look as well, Porteous, he's played three games, Gunn has come in there. This is what's happening round about. So we've got the nucleus of a good squad, but within that, Steve Clark's identifying other boys that are coming in and improving the team straight away.
You didn't have Jack Hendry or Scott McKenna or James Forrest or David Turnbull, or you lost Che Adams for the second game. You didn't have Ryan Fraser. You know, there are players there, astonishingly, who could still be added.
Well, remember the best win, best performance up until last night for most people was Denmark. Yeah. John Souter scored that night.
Yeah, John Souter
scores the first. Jack Hendry was probably our best player in the oh, what month would that have been in the...
Did Jack Hendry not play with Porteous?
He played with Porteous in Poland against Ukraine, so, in September.
That, was that a triple header, that one?
Might have been. Certainly, it was after the Ireland win.
He scored in the Ireland game. Didn't he rampage forward and headed? Yeah.
And you still get...
Scott McKenna was getting praise around that
like
time.
Kevin Nisbet, who was scoring goals against Holland, was ahead of Jacob Brown and Lauren Shanklin in the pecking order. He's still in the periphery.
Do you think there are a few myths then that surround Steve Clarke and surround the Scotland squad that are getting busted as time goes on? Because there's no doubt there's a nucleus there, who, as you say, but over the piece there is a constant development of players that are being added to
there's a constant development, but all of the guys are gaining valuable experience in everything that they go about their business with. The finals, again, I go back, they'll be disappointed themselves with how they performed against the Czechs and Croatia, bearing in mind both games were at Hampden. But They're growing together, this group. And as I say, the ones that are coming in are adding their own little bit to it. Porteous now looks as if he could play there for the rest of his career. International wise,
anyone else, Stephen, that did catch your attention or you think deserves a bit of praise?
Being a Rangers fan, I hate to say it, Carl McGregor is absolutely phenomenal in that midfield. He seems to be able to pick out passes and knows his role quite well. Andy Robertson, of course, he was great. He was running up that wing even at the last minute. That's what you need for your fullbacks to, especially in these games where you're sitting back most of the time. You need your wingers to get you up the wing and run the defence, is what they did.
Yeah, I mean, someone did mention it before, but I think it's worth it again. The Callum McGregor run at the end, and this isn't some, you know, hopeless dud that he's leaving in his wake in the 96th minute or whatever it was. It was a Barcelona player, a
Gavi
wonder kid, you know.
It was fantastic.
Kieran Tierney on the other side.
I was going to make the point, Jerry was on before Beat the Pundit, you know, saying, oh, Callum McGregor was terrible and don't ever come and look at Callum McGregor. And, you know, Jerry and Simon see a lot more of Callum than I do. But you just wonder when the continent, you know, looks up and sees Scotland have beaten Spain and they pay attention to the game and they see a performance like that, you just wonder if someone, you know, would consider coming for Callum McGregor. Because for me, he could just about play at any level and not be out of his depth. And, you know, Callum McGregor's never hidden his desire to play for Celtic forever. But that kind of thing wouldn't prevent teams from coming in and trying to persuade him.
Thank you to Stephen and Cumbernauld on 01419511025. We are on Twitter as well at Clyde SSB. And you know, we talk about the players sort of developing, growing together. I noticed, Roger Hannah, that's Andy Robertson now the most capped Scotland captain since 1957. So with no disrespect to George Young, who racked up an incredibly impressive amount between 46 and 57, Andy Robertson's now captained the side 40 times. And he's 62 caps. He's captained the team 40 times, more than anyone apart from George Young.
It's quite remarkable, you know. And Steve Clarke made that decision very early that he was going to be his captain. And as Simon says, you know, in the old days, a lot of Scotland squads were named, and maybe the star men who played with the Liverpools or played with the Man Uniteds or played with the Arsenals would pull out the squad and focus on club matters. Andy Robertson's never been guilty of that. Andy Robertson's always been the first to report. He's always worn the armband and the shirt with great pride. And you could see last night, both during and after the game, what that result meant to him.
I noticed today it is 7 years to the day since John McGinn and Kieran Tierney, made their international debuts on the same day. It was a game against Denmark at Hampden. And when you look at the body of work they've put in since then, what a big night that was to look back on, both of them debuting on the same night.
Yeah, both have been superb for Scotland. Tierney has had to play two or three different roles. He's been brilliant. And McGinn, you know, what's he sitting on, 16 goals?
Yeah,
he's been the go-to man for until the weekend when McTominay's chipped in there. McGinn has been the constant. He's been scoring important goal after important goal. He's such a huge player for Scotland. But again, that's where I think as a nation we shouldn't probably be surprised that we're getting results like last night. I mean, you talk about Andy Robertson, they're a European Cup winner. These guys have played big games, and we're now reaping the rewards of that, I'm sure. And I think it's going to continue for
Where are those callers from Friday, though, who didn't think Kieran Tierney should have started the game, Simon? We need to hear your thoughts.
You look at McGinn. McGinn's numbers under Steve Clarke are phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now, he's already passed James McFadden, who was an icon of the Tartan Army for a decade. He's approaching Kenny Miller. He's approaching Ali McCoist. He could have another 5 years in a Scotland jersey. He could get very close to Dennis Law and Sir Kenny Dalglish.
I think you have to give Clark praise as well, because see the role he plays for, it's brilliant.
It's on
it
one.
Suits him. Yeah. It suits him perfectly. Yeah. He's off the front there.
Keep those calls coming in. We'll give the guys a full-time teaser next as well. You can sharpen your pencils and see if you can take them on.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Roger Hanna and Simon Donnelly are here. It's 0141 951 1025. It's one of those nights I was pretty much expecting wall-to-wall Scotland calls, and looking at how busy the phone lines are, that may well be the case. There's not a great deal of other news at the moment, but we did get breaking news just before 7 o'clock. If you're interested and you want to share your thoughts, it's that the Rangers women's coach Craig McPherson has been given a notice of complaint by the Scottish FA. He'll face a hearing on April 13th following that incident with Fran Alonso at the end of the game at Broadwood on Monday night, which I'm sure you've all seen. So that's where we're at from a disciplinary standpoint with the Scottish FA. Nothing yet from Rangers on the matter. If you've got any thoughts, get them into us on the phones. On your full-time teaser tonight, Jasmine Fuller has sent this one in to fulltime at Clyde1.com. No surprises for guessing the theme. Apart from Scott McTominay, or before Scott McTominay, can you name the last 10 Scotland players who got two or more goals in a single game? So before Scott McTominay, can you name the last 10 Scotland men's players who got two or more goals in a single game?
Armstrong.
Fairly easy, I think, on some of them.
Stuart Armstrong.
Armstrong did it in the summer against Armenia. Well done.
John McGinn.
Yep, against the Faroe Islands and Kazakhstan, and a hat-trick against San Marino. So he's done it a few times.
Dykes.
Yes, most recently against Ukraine, didn't he? Came on and scored two headers. Almost were they identical? They were very similar.
I better mention him in case I'm on with him on Monday night. Kenny Miller.
No.
So are we more recent than Kenny Miller?
Not necessarily.
If it's the last 10 to score two or more.
I thought you were going to say Hugh Keevans there, and you had me concerned. Who incidentally has text to say, did I ever mention that Celtic should have signed John McGinn? One of his great lines repeated 5,000 times.
Are we aware of Hugh's whereabouts today?
No. Is he? Oh, he's got a wee night out, doesn't he?
The phrase day out was mentioned to me. Spotted in the
somebody will have spotted
the
him.
Bustling merchant
one of the,
city.
One of the
later
listeners
on
will have spotted him. I'm sure.
A man of his standing in the community. He must have retired to the drawing room by now, though, if he's listening to us.
Yes.
Does he strike you as the type that takes his smartphone and listens to the show on the app on the go, Roger Hanna?
I'm not sure. Can you download apps to the Nokia?
You absolutely
no,
cannot.
No, I think he'll have the smoking jacket and the cravat on. He'll have retired to the drawing room and will listen to us for the last half hour. And Hugh, if you want to text any of the answers, feel free.
Behave. Sometimes I do forget, though, because he texted, did I ever mention that Celtic should have signed John McGinn? And obviously I was a bit busy. I'm trying to do things at the break, so I sent back laughing face emoji, which then I click won't show
he
up on the Nokia.
Get.
So I sent him another message thereafter, saying, haha, instead. I spelled it out for him, since the, the emoji won't
old
work.
School.
Right, we'll get back to that full-time teaser. Thanks to Jasmine for sending it in to full-time at Clyde1.com. I can see Matthew, for instance, giving that one a go on there. I've had a message in from Tony as well, saying that he's listening from the departure lounge heading to Spain. Ooh. Nice place that you got to go with your bragging rights. Kill one Scotland top,
one,
bottle of iron brew tucked under your arm.
Wait to those customs officers, greet him off the plane.
Pray for Rodri sign held up at the airport. He says Scotland played really well. The Spanish comments have been nothing short of embarrassing. You tell them, Tony. Go stand in the town square and tell them all. Has Sid still got ice on that calf after his shift at Anfield?
Who said that?
It's Tony. He sent me the message.
Is that Tony?
Hey. Who was the? I think Tony might cut your hair or something.
Oh, Tony. Aye, I know Tony. Tony Forrest.
Yeah.
Send me the ice is off. The ice is off.
Feeling it?
It was in my glass later on that night.
Did you miss Mark Wilson? Was he the difference between you losing the
game?
Because it might have only been one if he'd played.
The referee couple of doobies.
Come on, a charity doobie, game. Doobies. Listen to yourself.
A couple of doobies. Behave. Decisions.
Actually, I saw. I have to say, I have to back him up.
Yeah,
there were some ridiculous decisions.
Who cares?
Oh no, I'm with
charity
you.
Charity is the winner.
I'm with you. Although I did feel sorry for Mark Wilson. You know, Trevor Sinclair goes on, never played for Celtic. Simon Ferry goes on, didn't play in the first team for Celtic. But in the last 5 minutes, when they sent on Hoopy the Hurdle Hound, I thought,
listen, he's took it too far.
This is enough.
Anyway, he's not bitter about it. 01419511025. I feel like we've stumbled across a couple of themes here. Steve is a Liverpool fan, actually.
Uh-huh.
I don't think he's on about the charity game, though. Right. Because you watched the game in Spain, Steve. How was that?
It's absolutely fantastic. although I'm a Liverpool fan and the English, I've got a Scottish wife who I've been consoling for the last 10 years over the missed opportunities. But I feel that Scotland have become a great, you know, a smashing team to watch. They entertain. They've got some great players. And last night when we watched in a bar with Spanish supporters, Scottish supporters, it was fantastic.
How did they take it, Steve?
Sorry?
How did they take it, the Spanish supporters?
They're actually very, very good. They came and shook our hands.
Well, that was nice of them. Sometimes they buy a wee complimentary drink thereafter, Roger Hannah, and it's even better. But you'd like to think that, well, I'll take that back before I've even said it. I was going to say you'd like to think they won't underestimate us again, but by all means, crack on, knock yourselves out when the sides meet again. Please do make 10 changes this time if you want. The most important thing is where Scotland are and how Scotland sees itself and how Steve Clarke and the players feel about themselves. But it will still have been the type of result that will have raised eyebrows around Europe last night.
Oh, without doubt. People will be looking up thinking, my goodness, Spain have lost away to Scotland. How on earth did that happen? The Spanish coach seemed surprisingly calm and composed after the game. He will still believe that this new look squad of his will get one of the top two positions. What they put Norway away 3-0 on Saturday night,
you
remember?
Calm and composed. He sort of praised the performance, which I thought was a bit odd.
Yeah, but he's new to all this. He's got a new squad.
A positive spin.
Shell shocked.
Yeah, he needs to take these players with him. I think from the 26 who went to Qatar in November and December, he dumped 16 of them.
Is that right?
There was only 10 left in the squad, and he added, you know, his selections round about it. Yeah. So he's made his bed, and he's going to need to take these guys with him. So I think hammering them after the defeat.
When do we
at Hamden,
play the return? On that.
It is
October or something.
Yes, like middle of October. And I don't think a venue's, you're into these things. I don't think there's been a venue confirmed yet, Gordon, has it?
I'm into these things. I don't know what that says about me. But yeah, cause, well, Spain tend to move them around, don't they? And I'm not I'm not 100% sure that has. I think you might be right, to be honest, with that one.
Rodri's back garden.
Where did it's flooded at the moment, I think you'll find, from all the tears. Where was the one the other night again? Malaga.
Malaga.
Did I hear?
Yeah, Malaga. Played Northern, yeah.
So I'm not 100% sure, but yeah, listen, if you want to underestimate Scotland again, then brilliant.
That would be nice.
But Scotland, I suppose, can go with confidence regardless. And now I know we are looking quite far into the future, Simon.
Well, hopefully we've accumulated a right few more points by then.
Listen, we can get carried away tonight after last night. We may be qualified by the time we go to Spain.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to think so. Thank you to Steve, by the way. Steve, Liverpool fan / Scotland adopted fan from Weems Bay, and your wife as well, Steve. I'm glad you both enjoyed your evening. Let's hear from the new goal machine, Scott McTominay.
It's a funny one because he actually said, I feel like you're not playing with a smile on your face. I feel like I want to see the smile come back out of you. And that was the first day that I arrived, and I was like, you know what? He's right. Like, the smile does need to come back on my face, and I need to start enjoying football and playing like I love it, which is hard whenever there's a lot going on and stuff like that in your life and stuff. But I went back to my room and I thought, you know what, he's hit the nail on the head there. And I went back and just concentrated, got my head down on football, and that's all I need to do. Goosebumps the entire way around when we were clapping all the fans and they're singing, going wild, they're jumping up and down and stuff like that. And seeing my mum, dad with other family members stood up there with my aunties and my cousins and stuff like that, it's special and something that you'll never ever forget in your life.
You think back, Roger, and maybe we'll do this at one point with Angus Gunn. We'll always have the pantomime when someone like Scott McTominay gets the first cap. And is he only here because, you know, he can't get a game for England and all that carry on? you look at the way he goes about his business for Scotland, and that stuff seems like a million years ago now.
Yeah, and to be fair to him, he was very emphatic in his choice back in the day. I think it was Ali McLeish, I think, that capped him first, and he was determined he was going to come and play for Scotland. He's never let Scotland down. He's been shunted from pillar to post at time, that right-sided centre-half thing. Don't think any of us were ever convinced by, into a sort of deep-lying midfield position at times. But he was speaking after the game last night, and he was saying when he came through as a young teenager at Manchester United, that was his position. Yeah, he was in an attacking midfielder.
Yeah.
And then the taller and bigger he got, lost a wee yard of pace, and they moved him back. But he certainly showed he's got an eye for goal.
Again, he's up at 39 caps now, Simon. I think I remember him pulling out of one squad, injured maybe, but not many more than that. As Roger says, you go from right-sided centre-half, which I know had its critics, but also featured in some really big results for Scotland at that time.
I always felt maybe, I can remember a couple of goals getting caught out because he isn't defensively minded in that role. But just look at him now, because even in the midfield, I'd have said, you know, more defensive before. But you look at the goals in the last two games, getting into the box, the two goals last night, getting into the box, wanting to get in there where it hurts. And he's walked away with four goals in two games. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but the thing is, he has done a good job, Roger, as well. We still fall into that trap of remembering the bad bits more than the good bits. Scott McTominay played right side of a back three that kept a clean sheet at Wembley in the Euros.
But he's a good player. He's a good footballer, technically good. He's a clever footballer. You know, he's 25 years of age, I think, now, Gordon. You know, he's not a kid anymore. And yet, you know, he's held his own in Manchester United squads. Well, 26, yeah, but he's held his own in a Manchester United squad under a succession of managers.
Yeah.
You know, he's getting picked now by Erik ten Hag, and will probably get picked at the weekend with Casemiro being suspended.
He's probably played about 200 games for Man United
under
now.
Solskjaer, under Mourinho, under Louis van Gaal.
Good mentality, but that wee clip there that he speaks about, I'm assuming that's Steve Clarke he's been talking about.
Yeah.
That's good man management.
Of course it is.
He's been back to his room with a wee think, you know. It's something as simple as just reminding him to play with that smile and enjoy it.
Yeah, and it's good management, but it's also good professional conduct from the player. Yeah. Some players would have gone and, you know, gone deeper into a wee sulk. Yeah. Or the manager says, I'm not smiling.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. He went back and he thought, you know what?
Responded positively, yeah.
Positive response. Also, a positive response, having been left out the first game as well.
That's what I was going to say. So you come on, you make the impact on Saturday, and that is great in itself, but you then deserve your start the next game, and you have to then repay that. And you've got credit to the manager for making the subs in the first place, but then by recognising that goes in, you know, even take someone like, say Ryan Christie, Simon, I don't feel like we've really discussed him, but the energy that he brings is so vital. And again, he's had his critics, and he's not even a mainstay for Bournemouth by any means, but vital to what Scotland do at the moment.
Yeah, and he's popped up with important goals over the piece as well. I just feel the squad's there, and it's definitely the way that Steve Clarke is going about his business behind the scenes with this group. He's creating an environment there where they want to come and play. They all seem to get on really well. They want to contribute, and it must be great for him as the manager and the coaching staff, because they make changes there again for the game last night from Saturday's game. And it's still positive. And McTominay comes in, as you say, he gets the two goals late on at the weekend. He's rewarded with, or maybe he was going to play this game anyway. Maybe that was the plan. Yeah. We don't know. But he's went in there and scored two important goals again for us.
I found an article, Roger, that says the Spanish FA have revealed the game will take place in Andalusia, making Seville the hot favourite, which is great, because nothing ever goes wrong when Scottish sides go to Seville.
Yeah, that's a very good point that you make.
And you can now make that joke safely, because they've both suffered there in recent seasons.
Yeah, and a national team there as well. You know, we talk about Kenny Dalglish, and I'll mention his name, Morris Johnson, scoring those goals in 84. I think the reverse fixture in that campaign was in Seville, and they lost 1-0.
It was.
Can move it somewhere else then. Any chance?
It's a header.
Right, how are you faring on this teaser then? We're looking for the last 10 players before Scott McTominay to score two or more in a single match. You've got Armstrong, who did it recently against Armenia, Lyndon Dykes also recently, and John McGinn, who is a safe bet to have done it a few times recently.
Faddy.
Would you believe? No.
Ooh. What about Lee Griffiths against England?
Well, absolutely. How could we forget?
Exactly.
I'm thinking James Forrest, a hat-trick in the Nations League.
Yeah, against Israel. And he got two against Albania as well, incidentally.
And Annie Halliday's pal, Snoddy.
Yes, a hat-trick against Malta. Okay, we'll get the rest of the answers next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a quick old show it's been. There's a reason for that. What do they say? Time flies when you're having fun, or whatever. That must be the reason for it. It is not often we get to look back on a Scotland victory against Spain. That is the reality of it from last night. So keep your positivity coming. Paul McNeil's quite right to point out the under-17s have done well. They've qualified for their finals, the under-17 championship in Hungary in 2023. They sealed that victory, I think, that qualification yesterday. So maybe a couple of names that you'll recognise in that squad. I think Lennon Miller, Lee Miller's boy, as he often gets referred to. He's made first team action this year, hasn't he? And there's a few others in that squad, Roger. So they've done well. Not a great time for all the age groups. I know the 21s are not having a brilliant time of it, but hopefully there's enough positivity around.
Some good ones coming through.
Bailey Rice, sorry, who came on for
Rangers. Yeah, came on for Rangers that day at Livingston. That was there for Super Scoreboard. You look at Laszlo Rory Wilson, you know, that went down from Rangers to Aston Villa. And the one that people always talk about, I know he's injured just now, he got a nasty injury in the Champions League youth thing, Ben Doak at Liverpool. You wonder, you know, Jurgen Klopp used him sparingly in the first half of the season. You wonder at a time when Scotland don't have Ryan Fraser or James Forrest, or it's a one area of Steve Clark's squad you do think's maybe a wee bit thin. Whether Ben Doak could be a joker.
A good one.
Yeah.
Kenny Dalglish talking very highly of him, and as you say, at 17 already tasted first team activity.
Absolutely. Exactly. Right, how are you faring on this teaser then? We're looking for, before Scott McTominay, can you name the last 10 Scotland players who've scored two or more in one game? Lee Griffiths, I don't know if you can remember, it was a fairly well-known double that he got. Armstrong, McGinn, Dykes, Forrest and Snodgrass.
Maloney.
Yep, against Gibraltar, March 2015. I think I was there working at that one.
Speaking of Gibraltar, Stephen Fletcher.
Stephen Fletcher. How many is that you've got?
Eight.
We'll get the other two, hopefully, before the end. Roger, on another night, this may well have dominated the headlines a bit more, but for a couple of reasons. Firstly, Scotland is clearly one of the main shows in town, and this was actually only breaking news at about 7 o'clock. But I don't want to go tonight without acknowledging it, because it is a much talked about story and it has developed. So to recap quickly, the Scottish FA have charged Rangers women's coach Craig McPherson with misconduct after he appeared to aim that headbutt at Celtic manager Fran Alonso after an SWPL match on Monday. It was after the 1-1 draw between the Glasgow sides at Broadwood. Footage went viral, so everyone's seen it certainly. You can see Craig McPherson approaching Fran Alonso from behind as the players were sort of shaking hands and whatever after the game. So police said they are, you know, are aware of the incident, not necessarily progressed beyond that from a criminal perspective, so they can do their thing. I don't know what Rangers' plans are to even acknowledge it firstly, and then whatever disciplinary action, if any, they would decide. Yeah. But the Scottish FA have given the first indication. This is not one of these, just to update people how it works, it's not one of these fast track issues. So that's why it will be a hearing on April the 13th.
Yeah, I was going to say the SFA have done the right thing. The SFA have done the only thing possible, Gordon, by issuing this notice of complaint by the compliance officer today. I saw it on Monday night. It's not good on any level, Gordon. You don't like to see incidents like that on a football pitch, in a street, or anywhere else. I thought Fran Alonso, the Celtic manager, handled himself very well. You were covering the game, I think, on Monday night. And it's a real shame, because women's football in Scotland's never been stronger. The crowds have never been better. The international team, you know, you see Pedro Martinez Loza announcing a team today for the games against Australia and Costa Rica, and it's full of household names, and it's full of younger players coming up as well. So it's good times. I think Sky Sports on Monday night were trying to showcase the Rangers Celtic game at a time when, you know, they don't have Monday night football, it's international break. They're positively trying to give the right image of women's football in Scotland. It was a good game. Celtic got a very late equaliser. Both teams probably cancelled each other out in terms of title ambitions. The title will probably go back to Glasgow City this season, I would think. But all of that has been forgotten because of one needless incident.
Yeah, well, actually, I think someone who spoke on it very well today was Scotland women's head coach Pedro Martinez Losa. He was asked about it and the sort of image that it puts across.
For me, it's exciting that the game was obviously the first time, the visibility of the game. We had the opportunity to showcase the game. I think it was a fantastic game of football. I would have liked the day after to be more focused on that, the recognition for the players and what they were capable in both teams to put on the pitch. And luckily, we are talking about other scenario that is not for me to comment, but is these scenarios that don't have a space in the women's game that we want to build. It's not for me to judge what happened or not, but obviously it will be for the SFA to investigate and to find what's going to happen and what happened at that time. But just to make it clear for me, that our aspect that this is not the game that we want to promote. We want to promote good football. We want to make girls and people excited about the game, and that was an opportunity potentially lost, but I'm sure there will be other opportunities that we will take care of.
Simon, I'm sure you've seen it like everyone else has. The Scottish FA's disciplinary process will kick in and we'll see what the outcome is. You know, there's going to be an element of waiting to see about this. I know people want him, you know, want sort of to find out straight away, but I think Pedro Martinez Losa certainly hit the nail on the head with regards to the image that it puts across.
Well, you were at the game, Gordon. We want to be talking about the football. You know, I couldn't believe what I was watching at the end. The red mist has just totally descended. Very similar to the Fulham player the other week, just completely lost the plot. And I don't know if there was no intimidation. So obviously it's going to be dealt with, but it's an unfortunate thing because, as was commented on there, that game being on Sky, it's another good step for the women's game, and everybody's talking about this incident at the end. So yeah, it needs to be dealt with properly.
I wouldn't expect you or anyone else on here, Roger, it would be sort of irresponsible, if you like, to prejudge the outcome of any investigation really from whichever body. Would you at least expect some sort of public acknowledgement from Rangers, or does that have to wait until somewhere down the line?
I assume the people who handle Rangers corporate affairs are advising them not to say anything just now due to the fact the police are investigating and the SFA were investigating, but come the time of April 13, I think they'll be obliged to offer some comment.
Anyway, that's your other, well, it's your only breaking news tonight, I should say. I don't think there's much else that we've missed. It was always going to be very much all about Scotland, and you would make no apology for that. How are you doing on this teaser to round off? We're nearly done. We're looking for the last 10 players before Scott McTominay to score two or more in a single game for Scotland men's team. You've got Fletcher, Maloney, Griffiths, Armstrong, McGinn, Dykes, Forrest and Snodgrass. Now we are going back a bit for the other two.
I'm looking over your shoulder. Sky Sports promoting their cast list for Saturday. Big Boydie.
Yes, Chris Boyd did it against the Faroes in 2006, which leaves you one more.
Same game?
Further back?
Not the same game. No.
Same era?
No, a bit more recently. Yeah, I would say.
Gary O'Connor?
No. Harder in the sense that he can't have played that often for Scotland, and he can't have scored that many for Scotland, but he is, slash was, no, still is, a very prolific goal scorer.
Jordan Rhodes
against Luxembourg in 2012. There we are. Right, to recap, Roger Hannagon, give us the last bit of positivity from last night.
The last bit of positivity is we have beaten Spain. We have 6 points at the top of Group A. We are miles clear of Norway and Georgia, who will play in a double header in June. Two wins in June, and even Steve Clarke may have to confess we've a decent chance of reaching Germany.
Feels good, Simon.
It feels great, and you can now join the gang of seeing Scotland beat Spain with the two old guys here the other side of the desk.
But it sets us up nicely, doesn't it, going forward?
It does, full of positivity, as the show has been all night. And I can't wait for the next two games to come round, because I fancy our chances of getting another 2 wins.
And here's the beauty of this: everybody is happy, because if you love international football, if you live it and breathe it, you can't fail to be delighted with what happened last night. And if it's not your cup of tea, then it's over and tomorrow's Thursday and we start looking forward to the return of the Scottish Premiership as well.
Everybody's so sure happy tonight. Tomorrow you've got Sleepy and Dopey.
Well, you said it and not me. Gordon DL and Mark Wilson, in case you couldn't put that together yourself, they're here tomorrow at 6. And Callum Gallagher is up next. Thanks for joining us.